To the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you that you have a word prepared for each one of us. And so, God, we ask for a fresh anointing upon each one today, upon the one who is speaking and upon the one who is listening. May all that you desire for us be accomplished today, because it is not my will, but yours be done. Lord, help me convey your word in its clarity and in its power. We commit the service into your hands. May today's word be life-changing and bring great honor to your name. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen. Amen. Well, today we want to look at one of the most fascinating and sobering stories in the Old Testament. And that is the life of King Uzziah. A man who started strong, rose up fast, succeeded greatly, but ended tragically. And somewhere along his journey, his rise quietly became his greatest risk. And so I've entitled my message, When the Rise Became the Risk. And my text is taken from 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verses 3 to 5. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 52 years. His mother was Jechaliah from Jerusalem. He did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, just as his father Amaziah had done. Uzziah sought God during the days of Zechariah, who taught him to fear God. And as long as the king sought guidance from the Lord, God gave him success. The Bible tells us that as long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. And so Uzziah didn't begin with strength. He began with dependence. He didn't rise because he was gifted. He rose because he was guided by God. And at 16 years old, he was young, untested, inexperienced. He stepped into a weakened kingdom as the 10th king of the southern kingdom of Judah, a nation diminished, a people uncertain. But he makes one right decision, and that is that he sought the Lord. And that single decision became the foundation of everything that followed. So let's take a quick look at his impressive resume from verses 6 to 15. Uzziah's reign marked the height of Judah's power. His influence went beyond the region, and Judah was impenetrable during his reign. 2 Chronicles 26 verses 6 to 8 tells us that God helped him in his battles against the Philistines, and he conquered the neighboring countries like the Philistines to the west, breaking down the fortified walls of Gath, of Jabneh, and Ashdod, and expanded westward with settlements in Philistia, as shown in the map. Now, cities that once resisted them now collapse under his advance. He moved then eastward and subdued the Arabian tribes. He extended his influence into Edom, and even the Ammonites began to bring tribute. And the Bible says this, his fame spread as far as the borders of Egypt. But it wasn't just what he conquered out there, it was also what he built within. Because on the home front or domestic front, Uzziah wasn't just a warrior, he was also a builder. God gave him success and greatly prospered the works of his hands. Uzziah introduced domestic reforms and progression in the kingdom of Judah. He fortified Jerusalem with towers. He strengthened the gates and he secured the weak points. And so he didn't just win battles, he made sure the nation could sustain peace. And then he turned to the land. He dug wells, even in desert places. He built irrigation systems that brought water to dry ground. He cultivated farms, kept great herds of livestock and vineyards. And so under Uzziah, Judah didn't just survive, it flourished. And then on the military front, Uzziah had been raised up by God to be a mighty king and a strategic general. He was a military genius who organized and equipped his army with the most advanced weapons of his time. He introduced what we call the engineered weapons, devices mounted on towers that could launch massive stones over long distances. And 2,600 elite officers commanded a force of more than 300,000 trained soldiers. Every soldier equipped with shields, with spears, helmets, protective armors, bows and slings, all battle ready to fight any enemy, anytime, anywhere. And so Uzziah's army was both formidable offensively and defensively. And so Judah became in every sense a superpower of its day. So here's the full picture of Judah under Uzziah's reign. Victory in battle, strength in infrastructure, prosperity in the land, innovation in warfare, and success on every side. And the Bible sums up in one line in 2 Chronicles 26, verse 15. His fame spread far and wide, for the Lord gave him marvelous help, and he became very powerful. And this is where the tone shifts, because the same verse that describes his strength quietly prepares us for his fall. Because the following verse in verse 16, it says that when he had become powerful, he also became proud, which led to his downfall. He sinned against the Lord his God by entering the sanctuary of the Lord's temple and personally burning incense on the incense altar. The man who once sought God now began to assume himself as one. And that shift led him to do something that he was never meant to do. He entered the temple of the Lord not as a king seeking God, but as a king assuming authority. He took the censer and began to burn incense, a sacred act, a priestly role, a boundary set by God. And in that moment, Uzziah crossed a line that success had slowly blurred. And here is the danger, because when a person succeeds in one area, he begins to believe that he can succeed in every other area. But you have to understand this, that calling is non-transferable and anointing is not universal. There are things that God has given to you and there are things that he has not given to you. And it is wisdom to know the difference. So we need to stay in our lane. We need to stay within our calling. Amen? Not as limitation, but as alignment. So don't reach for what has not been assigned to you. Don't compare your calling with somebody else's platform. Don't covet somebody else's job or the ministry. And don't say, I can do a better job if I'm given that position. Because the moment you step outside of what God has entrusted to you, you step outside of the grace that sustains you. And so be faithful where you are, because God does not measure prominence. Everything that we have, all that we are, comes from him. But he measures and values faithfulness. Now, here's another truth. There is anointing in what God has called you to do. There is no anointing in what he has not called you to do. And when God is with you, people don't need convincing. They will see it, they will feel it, they will know it, and they'll be drawn to it. And in God's time, he will move you onward, forward, and upward. Promotion is not something you take. It is something that the Lord gives. Amen. So let God be the one who promotes you. And so we want to draw some lessons from King Uzziah's life so that we don't repeat his mistakes. If there's one lesson that sits at the foundation of Uzziah's life, it is this. Never stop remembering God. Because verse 5 of 2 Chronicles 26 tells us that Uzziah sought God during the days of Zechariah, who taught him to fear God. And as long as the king sought guidance from the Lord, God gave him success. Uzziah had a godly mentor by the name of Zechariah, who taught him to fear God. And interestingly, the name Zechariah means God remembers. And so as long as Zechariah was present in Uzziah's life, he lived with a constant reminder that God sees, God hears, God speaks, that whatever you do, it matters to God. And under that influence, Uzziah prospered. And then came a moment, the Bible tells us, that when Zechariah was no longer around, no more voice, no more correction, no more external reminder. And this is where many people misunderstand the ways of God. Sometimes we think tests only come in seasons of hardship. And we think that trials only come when things fall apart. But that was not the case in Uzziah's life. Because Uzziah's greatest test came when everything was working really, really well for him. And so success is not just a reward, it is also a test. A test of what, you may ask? Not of your ability, but of your heart. Because with every sermon you're taught on Sunday, there's a test waiting for you on Monday. Not to fail you, but to reveal you, to reveal what is truly in your heart. What is anchoring your life? What is sustaining you? Is it the outward discipline or the inward desire, the longing for the Lord within your heart? And so is your walk with God dependent on the voices around you? If Pastor Young is here, I will be here. If it's not present, then I won't come or I won't do this because Pastor Young is watching me. Or is there a fire within you that sustains you? Whoever is coming, whoever is watching, it doesn't matter. I'm doing it for the Lord whom I love. There will come moments in your life when the Zechariahs are no longer around you. No one to remind you, no one to correct you, no one to watch over you. And in those moments, what you remember will determine how you live your life. Will you still seek Him? Will you still honor Him? Will you still walk in His ways? Or will success slowly erase what God has once established in you? Because you can be taught the fear of God, but you have to choose to walk in the fear of God. And so Uzziah was taught the fear of God, but now he will be tested. And in that moment, his response revealed everything, which brings us to the next point. Which Azariah are you? Because the story continues in verses 17 and 18. Azariah the high priest went in after King Uzziah with 80 other priests of the Lord, all brave men. They confronted the King Uzziah and said, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord. That's the work of the priests alone, the sons of Aaron, who are set apart for this work. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have sinned. The Lord God will not honor you for this." Now picture this, 81 men standing before the most powerful man in the nation. No weapons, no army behind them, just conviction saying to the king, "You are out of line." Imagine telling your boss tomorrow, not privately, but diplomatically, but publicly, "You are wrong, boss, get out of the office." No wonder God called them courageous, valiant, brave men, because in that culture, these faithful priests knew that confronting the king was a death sentence for them. But they still chose obedience over safety. They chose God's honor over personal survival. Now, this tells me one thing, that every time you take a stand for righteousness, you take a stand for the Lord, the Lord sees it. He sees it when He calls you something. He notices the quiet courage that is in you. He honors the stand that you make for Him. Now, here is where the story becomes profound. Because that day in the temple, there weren't just priests and a king. There were two Azariahs having a face-off right in the presence of God. One feared God and the other thought that he was God. Azariah the high priest stood his ground and remained loyal and faithful to the end. The other Azariah was King Uzziah himself. You see, before he was called Uzziah, which was his throne name, he was first called Azariah. 2 Kings chapter 14 verse 21 says that all the people of Judah took Azariah, who was 16 years old, and made him king of Judah instead of his father Amaziah. Azariah was his birth name, which means God has helped. And when he ascended the throne, he took on the name Uzziah, which means God is my strength. So Uzziah started out as Azariah, the person who is dependent on God for help. But when he became Uzziah, he was proud of his strength. And when Zechariah, a reminder of God, was no longer in his life, Uzziah no longer remembered who helped him. He only remembered how powerful he had become. And yet three times in this very chapter 26, the Bible reminds us that God was the one who was behind his fame. God was the one who helped him. God was the one who made him successful. And that's why Proverbs chapter 16 verse 18 warns us, "Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall." And so Uzziah didn't fall suddenly. He just drifted from dependence to confidence to self-reliance and eventually to pride. And pride will always push you to cross boundaries which God never gave you permission to cross over. Now, there's an interesting story of Alex Haley, the African-American author who won the Pulitzer Prize for his novel Roots, which tells a story of an African slave by the name of Kunta Kinte. Check it out, the movie Roots. Now, he had an unusual picture hanging on his office wall. It was a picture of a turtle on top of a fence post. And when he was asked, why is that picture there? He replied, this picture is to remind me of a lesson I learned years ago. Anytime you see a turtle on a fence post, you know one thing, he didn't get there by himself. Every time I write something significant, every time I read my words and think that they are wonderful and begin to feel proud of myself, anytime I start to think how good I am, I will look at the turtle on top of the fence post and remember that he didn't get there by himself. He had help. Now, I wish that King Uzziah had that picture, not in one corner of the palace, but in every corner of his life, as a constant reminder that he didn't get there on his own. He had helped. God helped him. And so there were two Azariahs in the temple that day. The question is, which Azariah are you? The one who fears God and remain loyal to him till the very end, or the one who has forgotten that God has helped you to get to where you are today? And remember this, that when correction is rejected, pride is already at work in your life. And that leads us to the next point, beware of pride. Verses 19 and 20 tells us that Uzziah, who was holding an incense burner, became furious. But as he was standing there raging at the priest before the incense altar in the Lord's temple, leprosy broke out suddenly on his forehead. When Azariah, the high priest, and all the other priests saw the leprosy, they rushed him out. And the king himself was eager to get out because the Lord had struck him. So instead of repenting when rebuked by the priest, Uzziah became furious with the priest who dared to confront him. And when pride rises, boundaries fall, and correction is no longer embraced. And while he was still raging at the priest, right there in the temple, right before the altar of God, leprosy broke out on his forehead instantly. The priest saw it and immediately they rushed him out. And Uzziah himself was eager or anxious to get out as well, because suddenly he realized this, that this was not man confronting him anymore. This was God confronting him. God allowed something on the outside to reveal what had already taken place on the inside of him. Now you may ask, why not inflict him with blindness? Why not inflict him with madness like King Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel? Why leprosy? I'm so glad you asked the question. I can tell you, I can read your mind. Leprosy in the Bible was not just a disease. It is a living symbol described in Leviticus chapter 13 as a progressive, contagious, and disfiguring disease. It would begin subtly, a patch on the skin, a change in the color, and then it would spread. The hair would turn white, bald spots start appearing, skin cracking, and the nerves start dying, until a person became a visible picture of decay. And socially, it was devastating because a leper was cut off from family, removed from the community, and excluded from corporate worship. They had to live outside the camp, and everywhere they went, they have to shout, unclean, unclean, so that the people ahead of them would avoid them like a plague. Any contact with a leper makes a person unclean and making them unable to attend corporate worship as well. In other words, the lepers became a walking picture of separation. They are alive but cut off. They are breathing but isolated. And that is exactly what pride does to you. It separates you from God and from His presence. Leprosy in Scripture often reflects a deeper spiritual condition, a heart that has turned against God, a life that resists His authority, and a posture that says, I know better. And here's the tragedy of Uzziah's life. He guarded the nation against external threats, but he failed to guard his own heart. The greatest threat to his reign was never outside the region or the kingdom. It was inside in his heart all along, because pride is the enemy within. You know, the other day I read the alarming statistics of from online scamming in Singapore. Can you imagine over $3 billion have been lost to scams over the last 5 years, with more than $1 billion lost in a single year, the year 2024. That's a staggering average of $600 million lost to scam on a yearly basis. If you don't know where to put the money, now, systems are in place, warnings are given, protections are built, advertisements all over the MRT, the bus stops. Don't click on this, don't send this. Yet it only takes one careless click and all your money is gone. The system may be secure, but as we know, the user is always the weakest link. And it is the same spiritually, because you can sit under good preaching, you can be in the right spiritual environment, you can have all the good external safeguard. But if your heart is not guarded, one wrong move, one wrong moment can undo everything. Proverbs 4:23 warns us that to guard your heart or your affections above all else. Another translation says, guard your heart with all diligence, not occasionally, but all the time. Guard your heart. Be watchful, for it determines the course of your life. It determines the outcome of your life. Well, you may say, Pastor, this doesn't apply to me. I'm not a king. I don't have that kind of power, that wealth, that army, that influence like King Uzziah. I'm just an average Joe. Then I say to you, you don't understand the nature of pride, because pride is not a respecter of persons. It doesn't only go for the rich, the wealthy, the influential, or the affluent, because to pride, it is not about magnitude. It's as many people I can bring it down. It is about the subtlety of sin slowly and quietly creeping into your life. One wrong thought here, one bad attitude there, and just like leprosy, pride develops over time in you. So the change in Uzziah's heart didn't happen overnight. No one falls overnight. In fact, nothing is really formed overnight, except maybe overnight oats. We were talking about it just now. It's healthy, I know, but I think it's an acquired taste. So when Uzziah was struck instantly, it wasn't the beginning. It was the exposure of what had already began growing, had been growing on the inside. So spiritual leprosy is an outward manifestation of an inward decay, a heart that has slowly hardened, a life that has stopped seeking God. And so Uzziah became full of himself when he should be full of God. And here's something we must understand. When God removed him from the temple, that's not just as judgment, but that's also mercy. Because when God humbles you, it is not to destroy you. It is to wake you up before it's too late, to give you space to turn around, time to repent, opportunity to come back. Better to be humbled now than to be lost forever. So every time the Holy Spirit convicts your heart, don't resist him, respond to him, because conviction is not condemnation. In fact, conviction is God's invitation to draw closer, to come closer to him, because there's grace for you. Amen. And so what is the antidote to pride, you may ask? What breaks pride? What is God's answer to pride? It is thanksgiving. Thanksgiving does something powerful. It blocks the poison of pride before it ever enters into your heart. And it also keeps you humble. Thanksgiving keeps our feet on the ground even when our achievements reach the clouds. So one way to build thanksgiving into your life is to make thanksgiving your daily routine. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18 says this, that rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. Not some, not most, not when it's convenient, not when it is easy, not when you feel like it, or not when it makes sense. But give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Amen. So that means that thanksgiving is not about feelings. It's not based on your feeling, but it is anchored in God's faithfulness. Because if you wait till you feel thankful, you may never start. But when you choose to give thanks in spite of the difficult situation, something in you shifts. Your heart begins to align with the will of God. Because thanksgiving is not denial of reality. Thanksgiving is not pretending that everything is fine, it's okay. It is simply declaring that my God is faithful and He is still faithful. Amen. And so if He delivered me before, He will do it again. If He carried me then, He will carry me now. And so this is how I see thanksgiving. If pride is the enemy, then thanksgiving is my weapon. Use it daily, use it often, use it anytime, use it anywhere. Because thanksgiving is the weapon and the antidote against pride. Amen. Let me close with this question. How did Uzziah's story end? We look at 2 Chronicles 26, verse 21. It tells us that King Uzziah had leprosy until the day he died. He lived in isolation in a separate house, for he was excluded from the temple of the Lord. When Uzziah died, he was buried with his ancestors. His grave was in a nearby burial field, belonging to the kings, but not in the royal tombs. For the people said he had leprosy. For the people said he had leprosy. Uzziah started in the house of God, but he ended outside it. He began with honor, but he finished with just a label. And that's how his story ends, in the eyes of men. Notice that phrase, for the people said. Because the people around you will always have something to say. They will define you by your worst moment. They will reduce your life to just a single label. But hear this today. Man may have the first word, but God will always have the final word. Amen. And so it doesn't matter what people say about you. It doesn't matter what people call you. It is not over until God says it is over. And when you turn the pages of Scripture, you realize something remarkable, because you will notice that Uzziah's story didn't end in isolation. It didn't end with leprosy. We turn to Matthew chapter 1, where he records something beautiful. In verse 1, it says that the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac, Isaac begot Jacob, Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. If you go down to verse 8, Asa begot Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat begot Joram, and Joram begot Uzziah. Right there, he made it. He made it into the lineage of the Messiah. Think about it. A man marked by failure, a man for the people say that he had leprosy, a man remembered by his people, by the people for his downfall, and yet God writes him into the redemption story. I believe Uzziah repented before the Lord before it's too late, and God redeemed him. And some of you here, you've been carrying labels too. Words spoken over you, unkind words, things said about you. You're not good enough. You can't speak well. You'll never change. You mess up all the time, too many times. You are too emotional. But today God is speaking something different over you, that you don't have to carry the labels that people place on you. The God who helped you is the God who can restore you. Because hear this, man writes you off, God writes you back into redemption story, because that's who our God is. Amen. And so let Uzziah's life be both a warning and a hope for us. A warning of how far a man can fall, and a hope of how far God can redeem you back. And by His grace, may your ending be always greater than your beginning. Amen. Shall we all stand in the presence of God as we close this time? Hallelujah. As we look to the Lord this morning, for a few moments, allow me to just share what I felt to say to you, and I'm going to ask for a response from you. Because if Uzziah could fall, so can we. So we need to guard our hearts and watch the subtle language of pride. I already know. Don't tell me what to do. I know what I'm doing. Because the greatest danger is not falling suddenly. It is drifting quietly. So don't start in the spirit, but end in the flesh. And on the other side, if Uzziah could be redeemed, so can you. And God has given you time to respond, time to repent. And so today the Bible says, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Maybe you didn't start well. Maybe somewhere along the way you drifted from Him. But today you can decide that I want to finish well in this life, in my life. Not by my strength, but by the grace of God. Because I remember that He is the one that helped him. That I will not forget who helped me. I will not outgrow my dependence on Him. And by the grace of God, I will not allow pride to take root in my life. With all eyes closed, with all heads bowed, if that is you this morning, would you lift up your hands and make a fresh consecration to the Lord and say, Lord, that's me. Keep me from all these things and help me to always remember you. If that is you this morning, would you lift up your hands? When I see the hands, I'll pray for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the hands that are lifted up. Lord, we made a fresh consecration, Lord, of our lives unto you. That through Uzziah's story, may we finish well, Lord. May his story be a reminder for us to always keep ourselves small in our own eyes, to never let pride take root in our hearts, Lord. To always give thanks and break every pride that is coming, Lord. Lord, help us. Keep us small, Lord. Keep our eyes on you. Put the fear of God in me, that we have been taught the fear of God in this house. But this day, Lord, with our hands lifted up, we say, we choose the fear of God. We choose to walk in the fear of God. Amen. Amen. We're going to just worship the Lord for a few moments as I ask the worship team to lead us in the chorus. Close this time and let's lift our hands to the Lord, because I'm in this house, in this church, we're not going to give you an option which Ezra is going to be. We're going to choose for you because we all want to see you finish well in your walk with God. So I'm going to pray for you, and with our hands lifted up, Lord, we pray that we're going to be the Ezra by your grace who fears you and remain loyal to you. We can't imagine there's any other choice. There's no other choice, no other option. But we choose this day to walk with you, Lord. That by your grace that we're going to speak and declare your heart and your desire over your people, over you, over your family, over your children, over your children's children. That you will not outgrow your dependence on God. That you will not rise so high that you've forgotten Him and who has lifted you. You will always choose to walk in the fear of the Lord. That you, your family, your children, and your children's children will be that faithful, that courageous priesthood, standing for Him, honoring Him, remaining loyal to Him every single day until the very end, Lord. We pray, we speak that over your people this day, Lord. And Lord, even as your people have come to praise you and give you praise, we now pray, bless your people this day. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord makes His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance over you and grant you His peace. And so may the Lord put His name on you. The blessings of God the Father, the blessings of God the Son, the blessings of God the Holy Spirit be with you and abide in you now and forevermore. And everybody say, amen. Let's give God a big praise offering one more time.
You've just listened to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.